Good evening to all of you. We gather on this fifth midweek Lenten service to once again follow our Savior to the cross, rejoicing that the Son of God goes forth to war for you and for me. Again, the worship folder is in the link beside this audio recording. If you have not opened it yet, feel free to pause this recording and open that link that you may take part in the service and follow along. We begin then in the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden. Amen. We confess together. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy, and in your faithfulness come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?" "Yes, I believe." Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. Amen. We pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace now drawing to a close. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, and may we walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with Lesson 4 of the Passion History according to the harmony of the four Gospels. As soon as it was day, the council of the elders of the people met together, both chief priests and experts in the law. They brought Jesus into their Sanhedrin and said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer me or release me. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "I am what you are saying." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? For we ourselves have heard it from his own mouth." Then the chief priests, with the elders and experts in the law, together with the whole Sanhedrin, reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the Roman governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he began to feel regret. He brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? That is your problem." He threw the pieces of silver into the temple and left. Then he went out and hanged himself. The chief priests took the pieces of silver and said, It is not lawful to put these into the treasury, since it is blood money. They reached a decision. They met and decided to buy the potter's field with the money as a burial place for foreigners. So that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price the sons of Israel had set for him, and they gave them for the potter's field, just as the Lord commanded me. Early in the morning, the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. They did not enter the praetorium themselves so that they would not become ceremonially defiled. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover meal. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate told them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews said, "It's not legal for us to put anyone to death." This happened so that the statement Jesus had spoken indicating what kind of death he was going to die would be fulfilled. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow misleading our nation, forbidding the payment of taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "It is as you say." The chief priests accused him of many things. When he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Pilate questioned him again, "Are you not going to answer anything? See how many charges they are bringing against you." But Jesus did not answer anything, so Pilate was amazed. Then Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" "My kingdom is not of this world," Jesus answered. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. I was born for this, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate said to him. After he said this, he went out again to the Jews and told the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they kept insisting, "He stirs up the people, teaching all through Judea, beginning from Galilee all the way here." When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad. For a long time he had wanted to see him because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle performed by him. He questioned him with many words, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the experts in the law stood there vehemently accusing him. Herod and his soldiers treated him with contempt and ridiculed him. Dressing him in bright clothing, they sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other on that day. Before this, they had been enemies with each other. So far, the passion history of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. May your fellow redeemed. We gather for the fifth week of our Lenten services with our focus on the Son of God goes forth to war. What a blessing it has been to once again follow our Savior to the cross, knowing all along how this war will end. It's bad enough being in a war. Any of you who've been there know that more than I do. The enemy will do whatever he can to destroy you. But there's usually not just one enemy. He has others who have teamed up to fight with him. He has an ally, someone who agrees with and fights for the same principles he has. Jesus is at war. Satan is the enemy. And Satan is not alone. Let's focus our attention on our warrior once again this evening under this theme. The warrior faces Satan's ally, the world. Satan and the world, allied against the truth, allied against Jesus. The words before us are from John chapter 18, verses 38 through 40. They were part of our Passion history this evening. We find Jesus standing before Pilate. We read, "What is truth?" Pilate said to him. After he said this, he went out again to the Jews and told them, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at the Passover. So do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" Then they shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a rebel. This is the word of our Lord. What is truth? That's the age-old question, isn't it? Ever since Adam and Eve believed the lie instead of the truth, sinners have been wondering about truth. Philosophy has spent centuries using some of the greatest minds the world has known to try and figure out truth. People have studied ethics, working on best ways and best practices to figure out what should or shouldn't be done. I'm sure there are other examples of how this world has handled, or mishandled, truth. As the debate goes on, there is one thing all do agree on. There is no absolute truth. As one studies, debates, and ponders, the student of this world is told never to think he has found truth. Truth is nebulous, fleeting, mysterious. The world considers claiming to know truth as the height of arrogance. If someone does claim to have the truth, distrust him, even deride him as intolerant and close-minded. What is truth? No one knows, and no one dare claim to know. What is truth? He's standing right in front of Pilate. Pilate himself has to admit that in his searching and investigating, he has not found a reason to charge Jesus. He knew Jesus was innocent. The crowd was so busy throwing charge after charge, none of which could stick. Even Jesus, the accused, found no reason to respond. Pilate also knew the Jews were jealous. They were jealous of Jesus' popularity. They were jealous of his increasing power. They were jealous of their roles as respected teachers, as more and more recognized the authority and truth of Jesus' teaching. Truth was right there, in the flesh, standing in front of Pilate. But he still wouldn't stand up for the truth. Instead, he has one last attempt to set Jesus free without coming right out and saying he's innocent. The people had a custom. During the Passover, the Roman governor would offer to set one prisoner free. Surely this would set Jesus free. How could they possibly choose anyone else? The warrior faces Satan's ally, the world. This world is still allied with Satan against the truth. The war rages on. Roles and relationships are redefined. Attitudes and definitions that were long held and agreed upon, even by many who didn't know the truth, are now determined to be outdated, even incorrect. We could list example after example, but perhaps our focus should be on ourselves. We're surrounded by this world. We are under attack by this world. Satan's ally is everywhere, touting its own version of truth. We get used to it. We hear it so often, we don't even tumble to it anymore. We are worn down, desensitized, and might even begin to wonder ourselves, what is truth? Stay allied with Jesus. The Son of God goes forth to war. We are not allies with Satan or this world. We are Jesus' brothers and sisters. He is our ally. He is the one who freed us to be His by taking on all who battle against us. We know what the truth is. The truth is we are all sinners who deserve eternity in hell. The truth is, because of our Savior, we are all justified through the gift of faith, worked by the Word of God we gather around this evening. Satan and the world are allied against the truth. Jesus is greater than his enemies. Jesus stands before the governor. He stands before the hostile crowd. Satan attacked in the garden, and now he calls upon the world to gang up on Jesus. The Son of God goes forth to war. The warrior faces Satan's ally, the world. Satan and the world are not only allied against the truth, but are also allied against Jesus. Back to Pilate and his offer. He offers a no-brainer. You can almost hear his thought process. Option one, Jesus. I mean, come on. Really? You guys are all bent out of shape over this guy? Look at him. What possible threat can he be? Option two, Barabbas. Rebel, murderer. Clearly these people aren't so crazed they'd actually let this guy go. And so he asks, do you want me to release the King of the Jews for you? Look at the wording. This is a dig at Jesus. The Romans knew power. They had power. This is no king. This can't be a king, no matter what anyone says. And this was a dig at the Jews. How could they possibly be threatened by Jesus? Pilate thought it was a no-brainer. Sadly, so did the crowd. Not this man, they scream. The world is allied with Satan against Jesus. No logic, no reasoning, just hatred, just complete rejection of the Savior. The warrior faces Satan's ally, the world. We are in the world. A world that is still allied with Satan against Jesus. He is still discounted as a fraud, a hoax, a has-been. These two allies also draw in a third ally, our own sinful natures. We know the importance of worship. We know how badly we need to gather with our allies against the temptations that come our way. But it's not always easy, is it? Distractions, duties, interests can all keep us from coming to God's house. And now, we can't. Oh, we totally understand why. Our neighbor is at risk, and we are willing to do what we need to do to protect each other. But we can get lazy. Now the sinful nature can easily reason, I don't have to listen, and no one will ever miss me. The sinful nature will get wrapped up in the social and economic struggles this event may well bring. I need to focus on me, the sinful nature says. I need to think about myself at this time. How easy to set Jesus aside and put our focus elsewhere, like on me. We may be in the world, but we are not of the world. All those who are allied against Jesus have lost. Satan has lost his power to accuse us. In Jesus, we are now innocent of all charges because Jesus' life is your life. He's innocent, and so are you. Satan can't accuse because we've already paid the price for sin. God doesn't believe in double jeopardy either. Jesus was already charged and convicted on behalf of the world. We can't be charged and convicted again. Satan has nothing to say. The world has lost its power to influence us. It will keep trying, and it's still all around us. But we have been set apart from this world. We are free from its lures and enticements, and free to focus on Jesus and His Word. Jesus, our warrior, came and set us free. No longer are we the world's prisoners of war, but free to live and serve our Savior, who first lived and served us. The sinful nature has lost its power to enslave us. The battle between our sinful desires for ourselves and our new desires to love and serve Jesus will always be there. But the real you is the redeemed you. Stay allied with the Son of God. Use this time to stay in the Word. Use this time to grow in our knowledge of His grace. Use this time to build your family so you can all see Jesus better and all that He has done for you. We're alone. For the past couple of weeks, we've been sheltered from others in order to combat an unseen enemy. As the number of COVID-19 cases rapidly increase, we're even more alone now. More time to sit in front of the computer, more time to sit in front of the TV, more time to be on the phone. But don't forget, we are not just warring against a virus, but against Satan and his ally, the world. And don't forget your ally. The Son of God goes forth to war. He's your warrior. He's the one who has defeated Satan and his allies. Stay alert for those allied against the truth of the gospel revealed in God's holy word. Stay alert for those allied against Jesus and the salvation he won for you. And then stay confident in the Son of God who goes forth to war for you. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have permitted us to enter another Lenten season. Once again, in spirit, we are privileged to accompany our Savior on the bitter road from Gethsemane to Golgotha. Once again, we see how deeply he loved us and all people, not only in word and in deed, not permitting Satan, sufferings, or friends to divert him from the agony of the cross. Grant to us and all members of our congregation the grace to love him who first loved us and to show our love not only by our words, but also by our deeds. May we never be ashamed of our Savior and his cross in this sinful generation, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, enable us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and sacrifice all, even life itself, for his sake. Continue to guard, protect, and watch over all during this time, and may we cling to your love and grace and forgiveness as our sure hope and comfort. Hear us, dear Lord, as we pray all the things that you have taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we join in Luther's evening prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. Forgive me all my sins, and graciously keep me this night. Into your hands I commend my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's close by singing the three verses printed of hymn 349. Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Ah, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine, I will suffer not to hide thee, not I ask beside thee. Satan, I defy thee, death I now decry thee, fear I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me, nor thy threats alarm me, while I sing of peace. God's great power guards every hour, earth and all its depths adore him, silent bow before him. Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus enters in. Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace with Him. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, Thou art still my purest pleasure, Jesus, priceless treasure.
Thank you for being with us this evening. God's blessings as you continue to worship in your homes and with your families. May God, our Lord and our Savior, be with you all. God's blessings on your night.